It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This song is Rejoice, Just Do It. It is by Spencer Jones, and it's available for download. So sit back and enjoy Rejoice, Just Do It. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray, back co-hosting with me today.
Yes.
Vicki's been out for 2 weeks. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you.
Our show, Every Heart, Every Woman, is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And Vicki and I are welcoming our guest for today. Her name is Dawn Anderson. Dawn is the associate pastor with Lovers Lane UMC. She's the associate pastor of Grief Support. Dawn, thank you so much for joining our conversation today. Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I can say that Dawn has personally helped me when I was about to meet up with a friend who had just lost her husband. I sang at the funeral like the weekend before. I called Dawn like in a panic, and I was like, I'm going to meet her for lunch, because I said I was going to meet her for lunch. And at the funeral, she was in shock. She wasn't herself, which you explained to me there was shock. I didn't know exactly what to call it. She was in shock, and I was going to meet her for lunch, and I knew that I should meet her for lunch, but I had no idea what I was going to do, what to say. I just didn't know the rules, so or anything. I didn't have any information or any experience. So Dawn helped me with that beautifully. And as I mentioned before, Vicky has been out for 2 weeks. She's been out. They did move her daughter into college, which was a great time. But also, Vicky experienced some loss over these last 2 weeks. So, Vicky, you kind of fill us in.
I did. Right about the time that we moved Marley into college, my mom went into ICU here in Dallas. And after 19 days in the hospital, we let her go. And so my mom passed away about a week and a half ago, and I'm going to cry. I have Kleenex here. Yeah. And so we started talking about grief through this experience, because Carla came to the hospital several times, and Aaron came up. And so I am now have my own upfront experience. I haven't lost a parent yet. I'd lost grandparents, but when I was younger. So Ramsey Patton, another pastor that we've worked with, said, hey, Don Anderson would be a great person for you all to talk to and have on the show. So there's a couple of different layers and areas of grief that we want to talk about. We want to talk about losing a family member. We want to talk about suicide today. And how do we walk along some a loved one or a dear friend who has lost somebody? And where do we go from there? And from my own, real quick, my own experience, I was telling Dawn earlier before the show started that it's just been amazing. I have a gajillion sympathy cards from people who have maybe already lost a loved one and know what this is like, and, you know, have had lots of support. And thankfully, except for my daughter, one of my daughters keeps saying, you're not crying. And I said, I am crying. I have cried.
And it's okay to cry.
It is.
Don taught me that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely okay to cry. It just comes at different times, different moments, and it will this next year for sure at holidays and birthdays, or I'll hear a song. My mother loved Carla's music, and so I told Carla the other day I was playing a song, and it made me cry because it made me think about my mom. Yes. I was playing one of Carla's songs, and so that kind of stuff can get y'all
and
teared up, like I feel like I'm
going
to do.
One of the things Dawn taught me, and then we're going to let unleash
Dawn.
Like, we're just Dawn has taught us all so much. But one of the things that Dawn taught me when I was getting ready to go and meet with my friend for lunch is that when you're speaking, you know, with your friend, it's okay. It's good. It's a good idea to bring up memories, because you're thinking, don't say anything. Just try to talk about the broccoli you're eating. Or, you know, this salad is great and this chicken. But it's good to talk about memories. And if your friend starts to cry, that's good.
It's
like your friend probably wanted to cry, and you gave them permission by bringing up their loved one to just release those tears. And it's not because of you, but it's actually healthy for the person. Is that right, Dawn?
That's absolutely right. And I think the best news for somebody that doesn't know what to say to someone who's grieving is that you don't have to have any magic words. It's all about presence. Rick Warren says, show up and shut up. And I think that's the best example. And it's such a relief to people to hear that, because especially as Christians, we think we have to come up with just the right Bible verse. Or actually, it's usually a hindrance when Christians go and try to, I mean, saying you're going to pray for them is one thing, but saying, oh, I have a verse for you, or I have a spiritualizing the loss is what I call it. When you say something that's like, well, God wanted this to happen, or God's there, you know, and wanted another flower for his garden or something like that. Those are the worst things you can say. You want to assure people of God's presence and that you're praying for them, but you don't want to tell them anything that would seem to minimize their loss.
Right. And I we were talking about this earlier also, because I can't even imagine my God, you know, wanting or willing, you know, a friend's loved one to die or someone to commit suicide. So it just and I said that wrong. I realize we're going to talk about that in a minute about how you say suicide. And we'll you missed that, Carla. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so as a Christian, how do we grapple with that, though? Because I know when a friend of mine's husband passed away, there was the whole question with his suicide. You know, is he going to heaven? And that was actually, it was interesting because I would hear people in town talking about that. And I wondered, as my, I didn't really ever talk about it with my friend because it just didn't. But, you know, what? How do we handle that?
Right. Well, there again, the good news is we don't have to judge whether a person went to heaven or not, no matter how they died.
We
know we have a God of love. We know we have a God that wants to take people to heaven. I had one guy that was coming to my suicide support group that was so worried about his dad and whether or not he had believed at the time he died. And I reminded him of the thief on the cross. You know, what did it take for the thief on the cross to go to heaven?
Yeah.
It just took him recognizing that God was real, that Jesus was God, and it takes one second, and you're in heaven. All you have to do is make that final declaration, and I think we can have that comfort whether our loved one died of suicide or whether they died in a long illness, that God's doing everything possible to bring that person to heaven, and sometimes death is what it takes. Some people live their whole life without God till they get to the very end, but then like the thief on the cross, they accept.
Yes, and so that's comforting to me. So the the other part of this for me is at the time when my mother went into the hospital, my father called, my parents aren't married, and told me that he had stage 4 cancer. So I'm now dealing with my other parent and his journey. And so actually about 3 weeks ago, I had that conversation with him because we went to church growing up. I wouldn't say I really thought for sure my dad was a believer. I was unsure and I was concerned. He has stage 4 cancer, so we're not sure how long he'll have. And so I asked him point blank, you know, Lord, or Dad, do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe, you know, in Jesus as your Savior? And we had this great conversation, and he started tearing up. He goes, Vicki, I have always believed it. I have felt unworthy for choices I've made over the years, but I have come to terms with all that, and I absolutely unequivocally believe, you know, he's my Savior. And so I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but like you just said, as a child, I was scared to death because I thought, I don't want you going to hell, Dad. You're a good parent, and you've done the best you can, you know, like we all do as being parents.
Yes.
But it seemed like the natural thing for me to ask him.
We need to have those conversations.
Okay. Yes.
And if our parents aren't having them with us, we need to ask them and vice versa, because we all should be thinking about our deaths no matter what age we are. We can get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Right.
And I think that's part of being a Christian, is we need to accept the totality of our lives, that they are going to end one day, and be thinking about that. Where do I want to be? What do I want my life to be like? What do I want to leave my kids? And even things as simple as making a will. They say some huge percentage of people die without wills because we live in a death-denying society. We want to pretend like we don't die. And that's something no Christian really has an excuse to do, I don't think.
Right. And you know what? I want to commend you on doing that, on having the wherewithal to, you know, move past your, oh my goodness, should I have this conversation? So important to know, because, and it's so important for us as Christians, like, it is our duty to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I know that now in our society, in the world, it's like, okay, don't say Jesus and just maybe say God, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think we have to be bold in that area, just fight through the awkwardness and just go ahead and have the conversation.
We did. And we had a great conversation. And it was interesting to hear his vulnerability about his own insecurities with his faith, with his relationship with God because of choices he's made. And I thought, goodness, you're in your 70s and you're feeling this way. You know, so we had a fantastic conversation, and I'm totally at peace with it. And you know, I'm going to
That
be
was
there
a
to...
great gift, because I see people on the other side that are going through grief and they wish they'd had those conversations.
Right.
They have a lot of regrets of, why didn't we talk about this? I wish we had done this. And I'll tell you, one of the saddest things for me as a pastor is to sit down with a kid and say, what were your mom's favorite scriptures? What were your mom's favorite hymns? What would your mom have wanted her memorial service to look like? And the kids have no clue. You know, so I think as parents, no matter how old we are.
Yes.
Those are conversations we can be having with our kids. Hey, yeah. I tell people, you can plan your whole funeral right down to the, I've got the obituary, just fill in the date.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, yeah. Someone who's just lived it, please do that. And, yes. And actually, it's made me think about that because my mom did not do that. Now, my brother and I both had good relationships with her, so we knew songs. Mm-hmm. Carla came and sang. And mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have really known a scripture per se. My mom was really into Bible study, and so there were scriptures all over her house that she had written down. Mm-hmm. But it would have been helpful if she had, you know, we did it our way, bottom line, because mm-hmm. we didn't have a frame of reference of how she wanted it other than mm-hmm. she wouldn't want a big hullabaloo. So we just did a very sweet, kind of mm-hmm. fast, simple service, but it was the essence of who our mother was. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice. I do, you know, it really has caused me to pause and think about, I don't have all that written out, and I need to have all that written out mm-hmm. for my children mm-hmm. so it doesn't create any more stress than it already is.
It really is a great gift to give your children.
Yeah.
Because that at that moment, they're already going to be totally traumatized, and they're not going to be able to think, oh, gosh, wonder what your mom graduated from high school for
right.
the obituary.
Right.
Or
whatever. Oh, right. All right. That.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Which
right.
are things you just know that you could just write down very easily.
Right. Thank you, Dawn, for saying that, because I think that's a good gift that you're giving everyone to say, you know what, this is okay. Let's stop acting like we want to push it to the side because we're embarrassed and— You know,
well,
we
not...
don't want to think about our death because
right.
it's not here yet. But, right. you know, that's the point. Like, we want to love our families well.
Yes.
That's what I hear you saying. Like,
yes.
take care of your family. Like, this is just a part of life. And you just want to take care of your
right.
family in this
right.
way.
Right.
I've even thought about making my kids a video because I've heard so many
yeah.
regrets of kids.
Yeah.
You know, where I want to say, I do not want you to grieve me unnecessarily.
Yes.
Sure, grieve me.
Yes.
Be sorry I'm not there. You can
yeah.
miss me.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to have any regrets that, oh, I wish I'd been better in high school, or I wish
yeah.
I'd said
yes.
this, or,
yeah.
you know, maybe if the last thing that happened before I died was we had an argument. I can promise you I've forgotten that
exactly.
now.
Right.
And
exactly.
I am in a total place of peace.
Yes.
And
right.
I just have nothing but love for you. And that's
yeah.
all I want you to grieve
yeah.
is just this temporary loss that
yeah.
we'll be separated for a short period
yes.
of time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for, I mean,
yes.
oh my goodness. Okay. So you're blessing us mm-hmm. so much.
Very much so.
So let's talk about suicide, because we always... There are people that are like, okay, where is God in suicide?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've had a personal experience. Would you mind sharing
sure,
that with
sure.
us?
Sure. I lost my husband in 1993 to suicide. It came as a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Now that time has passed, I look back and I recognize he was mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things I try to do in my groups is normalize suicide, just like any other death. You know, our brains have a health of their own. Sometimes
right.
we don't have the right chemicals. Sometimes things just aren't working in our brains, like it could be our liver, you know.
Right.
And nobody says to a person who has diabetes, for instance, well, just pray more. You don't need to take
right.
insulin.
Right.
But because it's our brain diagnosing itself, a
mm-hmm.
lot of times we don't see that we
mm-hmm.
need to get help
mm-hmm.
for that. And I think that was right. the case with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find out afterwards, I learned the hard way, all the things about stigma and how people do. You lose friends.
Mm.
You lose friends with any kind of death, unfortunately. I've found, because people just don't know what to say,
mm-hmm.
but especially with suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, my best advice is just to show up and be there and don't judge, don't try to minimize the loss. Just let the person feel bad for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Let them tell their story over and over. That's a really important thing.
Yeah.
I would think it would be freeing. So I was telling Dawn before the show, I have a friend whose husband died by suicide.
Okay.
And I want to talk about that real quick, too, about how we phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't known her very long, and so I was telling Dawn that I just felt like God was saying, Vicki, you need to go help her. So I helped with another lady. We helped move her out of her home. She had a certain amount of time she needed to be out, and she had somewhere to go, and she had a lot of great things that he had laid out in a way for her so that life would be easier
mm-hmm.
for her afterwards. But, you know, dealing with that, watching people that knew her many years compared to me for 6 months who disappeared. So that whole stigma of, you know, what do you do? What do you say? How do you handle it? How do you act when you see them? This person was sort of a public figure. And she and I were talking over the last 2 days. And I asked her, I was telling her we were doing this radio show, you know, would you be comfortable telling me what were things that were good about the situation after he passed, how people were with you? And then, you know, what were some of the bad ones? And you talked about how spiritualizing it, you know, sometimes God's will or, you know, people would, you know, you can, you know, you aren't given too much, you can't handle that kind of stuff. But it was the radio silence from people that she considered to be very close friends that, you know, I think just didn't know what to say to her.
That's
and
absolutely
so not
it.
Saying something. Mm-hmm. But something she did say that was helpful was she had people in our community that had become widows themselves, either through death by suicide or just passing on. And they shared with her a book that helped walk them through it. Scripture for them, but it was in a more personal way because they had experience in loss. Whereas maybe when you were talking earlier, I could share a scripture with you right now, but it means something to me.
Right.
Maybe not going to strike the chord it means to you. So those were things that she said, you know, were interesting, just sort of really more the radio silence. She was a little surprised by that.
Right. Unfortunately, it happens a lot. It happens just in regular deaths where a husband loses a wife. And sometimes all their couple friends don't know what to do to be around. So that poor widow not only is missing her husband, but now she's missing all her friends too.
Oh, yeah.
And with any kind of loss, the best news is just show up. That's it. And what you did help your friend move. I mean, that imagine if she'd been trying to do that by herself, because that's so hard anyway. And just offer to do practical things. You know, don't say, just call me if you need something. They're never going to call you. You need to look around their house and say, hey, do you want me to walk the dog? Do you have something to eat tonight? They need, because they're not thinking about those things. They're just in complete shock. Their brains aren't working right. And that's the thing. If you tried to give them a scripture or some perfect word that's going to make them feel better, that's the bottom line. We just want them to feel better, when actually the best thing we can do is just to let them feel bad for a while. So that's the greatest gift we can give. Just show up and shut up.
I have a friend from college who her father went home to be with the Lord, and it was very sudden. He was in a motorcycle accident, and they didn't, you know, they thought he would recover, and then all of a sudden he passed. And it was very surprising to me that when she got back home, when she got back here to Dallas, all of our friends from college, we said, okay, we can get together with you on this date. You know, what would you like for us to do? The thing she said was, you all can't say anything that will help my situation.
That's right.
But I want to clean out my attic. And she was like, would you all come over and help me clean out our attic? And all of us, you know, we were calling. We were like, is this appropriate? Does this even help? You know, but that's what she asked. And, you know, that's what we did. And we thought, okay, we'll just do what you asked us to do. We don't know that that will help with the loss of your father, but this conversation now
makes sense.
Sheds light on that. So that, and she said that you can't say anything that will help me. Can you come over and clean out my attic?
And sometimes just offering to go to church with them, because especially if somebody's lost a husband or a wife, they usually go to church with. It can be hard going back for the first time and sitting by themselves. And let me just do a plug for what I believe in the most, and that's support groups. Friends don't know. If you've never lost your mom, for instance, you're not going to be the best help to another friend that's lost her mom. But if you can suggest, she might go to a support group. And I use GriefShare, which is nationwide. You can go to griefshare.org, put in your zip code, find a program near you. And when you get in those groups, you find other people that are going through the same feelings at the same time. It really helps normalize it. And it also gets God back in the picture, because you talk about, where is God? They say everyone in grief becomes a theologian. And that was my own personal story. I had wandered from God till my husband died. And after he died, I started asking those theological questions like, okay, God, where are you? You know, I never really understood a personal God. I never understood the Holy Spirit until I lost my husband. And then it was
what
like,
a gift. There are blessings.
Absolutely. And traumatic growth is a real thing. When people go through traumas, it doesn't have to ruin their life. They can actually grow and go on to have better lives. I like to use the tapestry analogy. that you're weaving this beautiful tapestry, mm-hmm. and it's just got all the colors you picked. You know, you think you're so in control of your life. That was me before I lost my husband. And then all of a sudden, you have this horrible thing happen to you that you mm-hmm. didn't plan, and it puts this awful, ugly color in your tapestry right in the middle mm-hmm. where everybody can see it. And your first thought is, my tapestry's ruined. Or in the analogy, my life is ruined. But you keep on weaving, and somehow that becomes a part of your tapestry.
Right. Yes.
It becomes a part of your story. It can even become the most beautiful and interesting part of your story because you can learn new things.
I love that.
I no longer thought God was like in Star Wars, like the Force. I had this new agey view of God. Yeah. I learned what it's like to cry out to God at 2 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and feel like you've got these giant arms wrapping around
yes.
you and just
yes.
saying,
yes.
I'm with you. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And, That can be a gift.
That is beautifully put, Dawn. Okay, so we have to take a break. But we on Every Heart, Every Woman, we talk about this often that we believe in small group, and
yes.
and so when we get back from break, I want to talk about the service that you have every Christmas that really is so helpful to people. So let's take a break, and we'll get back to you in just a minute.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host. My good friend Vicki McMurray is here co-hosting with mm-hmm. me today. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you.
And we are having the conversation of a lifetime, a very
yes.
necessary conversation mm-hmm. that sometimes we put off with Dawn Anderson. Dawn is the associate pastor from Lovers Lane UMC. And Dawn, we have we've covered so much, but one of the things that I've been able to share with you the last couple of years, along with Michael Gomez, who's another one of the worship leaders from our church, we've done the service of the longest night, which is at Christmas. Which you've taught us so much about, because in church, normally, all of our Christmas services are happy and upbeat. And I had never thought before we did this service together, before you recruited me to do this service, Michael and I never thought about the loss that people are going through during Christmas, and it's such an iconic time. And at your table, there's going to be an empty seat. There's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of loss, and there's a lot of suffering that happens at Christmas. And so you've, you know, just stepped into that place and given people a place to celebrate your loved one's life at Christmas, and also kind of opened up the space for them to grieve for them at Christmas. So give us a little background on that and why you thought that was an important thing to do. And then also take us into your suicide, you know, talk more about your suicide small group as well.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, I found that over the years of doing grief support, I think I've been doing it about 18 years now,
okay.
that the holidays can be a really difficult mm-hmm. time. It's not just Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's even Halloween for some people, or the 4th of July for people.
Mm-hmm.
So another part, I might just do a plug again for the Grief Share program. There's also something called Surviving the Holidays
okay.
that different churches.
I have read about that, yes.
Yes, they offer, and I highly recommend it for you, Vicki.
Okay.
You can go, once again, to the griefshare.org website,
okay.
and you can look to see what churches near you might be doing a Surviving the Holidays seminar. I always do mine in October, because I found out a lot of times people will be making plans for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't even taken into consideration that this year is going to be really different.
Yes.
And if you don't plan ahead, it hits you as a whammy.
Mm.
Like you're cooking the turkey and you're sitting down and you're thinking, oh my gosh, who's going to carve the turkey? Dad's not here. And next thing you know, you have a breakdown.
Right.
So it's a really good idea to plan your holidays ahead, to know that they're going to be different. Some people, like I've known couples that have lost a child, that just say they can't even face it, can't even face the idea of putting up a Christmas tree. So maybe they'll go on a cruise or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is planning. And I think if you go to something like a Surviving the Holidays, or at least be intentional about what you need to do different this year. Maybe you don't send out Christmas cards this year. Maybe you don't do presents as much as you normally do. But you have to really think of yourself and taking care of yourself. And I always say, if I could go back to my 37-year-old self when I lost my husband, I would say, be gentle. You know, go get massages.
Yes.
Go do things that make you feel good. Make a list of 10 things that you enjoy and do one of the things on that list every day. Because I think in general, people try to grieve too fast. They let people push them. And, you know, not all life is about being happy 100% of the time.
Exactly.
And so on Christmas, I think especially, you know, we think about the happy families singing joy to the world.
Right.
Most churches, I think, do offer some more subdued services. But you can go on and you can Google Blue Christmas or Service of the Longest Night and just see what churches by you might have something like that. We called ours Blue Christmas in the beginning.
Okay.
And then someone decided that was too much like Elvis. So then we changed it to Service of the Longest Night. And normally do it around December 21st because that's when the winter solstice is. But the whole point of the service is we talk about the real meaning of Christmas, that Jesus didn't come into the world just because everything was light and happy and hallelujahs all the time. Jesus came into a very broken, dark world. And when we're going through one of those broken, dark times of our own, that's a real time, like I was just saying, in my own life, to become closer to Jesus and the real, true meaning of Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
So those services are important, I think, for people who are grieving.
Yeah. So important. I mean, people would come and it was like they were waiting, maybe just waiting to cry, you know, and we need to be okay with that.
Yes.
Like we need to be okay with that, and we need to create space and the the exact atmosphere. And because when we were planning these services, you were very very masterful, I would say it like that, with saying, okay, this is not for joy to the world. And we're like, really? This is not the time for joy? When is not the time for joy to the world? But you really educated Michael and I when we were, you know, planning out the music that, you know, really send the message that, yes, God is with us, absolutely. But God is also aware of grief, you know, at this time. So
and Jesus
very
cried.
Powerful.
I mean, people that are afraid to cry or think it's not Christian because we're just supposed to be happy. You know, Jesus cried. We know Jesus wept. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Lazarus. We have Paul telling us to grieve, but not as those who have no hope.
Right.
He doesn't say don't grieve. He says grieve, but not as those who have no hope.
Right.
And I'll tell you what gives you hope is hearing Carla sing It Is Well With My Soul around Christmas time, because that's the message we all need to hear.
Yes.
You know, it is well with my soul.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
the message of
she
something.
She sang it at my mother's funeral.
Oh, yes.
It's one of my mom's favorites.
Yes.
So talking about the holidays is actually making me anxious as we're sitting here because...
But it's good that we can now.
I mean,
know,
it
now
is.
That
I
we're
feel like
talking
I'm about to cry.
Dawn,
yeah, it's beautiful. Like,
can,
I
yes.
It doesn't have to be horrible,
yes.
And I'm usually a glass half full kind of person, and I'm so grateful that I am, but it is sad to me to think these thoughts about, you know, the loss and a holiday will be different, and I didn't even know about The Longest Night. Somehow you and I have never talked about it, and I guess I just didn't know when I was still in Dallas, so I'm definitely going to look at it. But it makes me – I do want to – can I jump in and talk a little bit about how I've tried to look at this loss and wonder, you know, I was sharing at our break that, you know, and Carla was there many times with my mom and I we were praying over her one day, my brother, my mom, my brother, my sister-in-law, my husband and I. And I said – my prayer out loud was, you know, God, please give me help me understand and learn from this experience, because I've never lost a parent. And how am I supposed to grapple with that? And then what am I supposed to receive from this that I can share with others? So there have been many blessings, actually, that have come out of this loss. And I'm sure there's going to be a billion more. And I'm really trying to pay attention to them, because I think that just – to me, I don't know what the right word is, but it just, to me, validates my mother.
Yes.
and her presence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because I was talking, and my point here is, you know, I don't think everybody looks at loss that way or wants to look at loss that way, because sometimes there is a comfort in just sitting in, because I've had a few days where I couldn't get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I had to just sit there, and I had to cry, and I had to be upset about losing mm-hmm. my mom mm-hmm. at 73. That's young.
Mm-hmm.
I had to just go through, you know, some personal things about my relationship with my mom. But for the most part, I've just sort of looked at how do I learn from this? How do I grow?
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody who lost someone recently, and all she's thinking about is how horrible this is. And I immediately thought of three things that are good that have happened since her sister passed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, help, how, you know, how do we deal? How do we, how do, I don't know. I don't know. Is this something I'm born with that I can look at things this way? Or, you know, how do we help people
well,
who
obviously,
aren't there?
Yeah,
I just don't know.
It could be a time of growing deep in faith. Like I've said, I was
okay.
far from God. I wasn't going to church. Now I'm a pastor, you know.
Right.
What I mean?
I know.
Right.
I think it's so beautiful.
God does amazing things in people's lives. But I could not have worked with people going through grief. And I had to experience that for myself.
Right.
And I think it is a time you can really draw close. You know, there's that beautiful scripture about God is close to the brokenhearted
mm-hmm.
and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if we are open to that, if we let the emotions come, let
right.
the tears come. There's also
right.
a scripture in Psalms that talks about how God keeps our tears in a bottle.
They're
yes. precious.
I have that.
Yes, they're
uh-huh.
precious. And so many people are afraid to cry or can't cry.
Right.
I'll say, go get a sad movie like Steel Magnolias.
And let
and
it
just
go.
Just a little crying
yes.
time. And I'll tell you where it happens is in grocery stores and
really?
Listening to music on the radio. There'll
oh,
be a
wow.
favorite
right.
food, a smell,
right.
a, mm-hmm. you know, oh, he loved baked beans. You know, it's just
right.
amazing what it'll send you off the edge. And,
right.
It's called being ambushed by grief. There's actually
oh,
a name for it.
Ambushed okay. by grief. That's good to
right.
know.
Right, which is something you learn in support groups. You can come and say, so what ambushes have you had this
right.
week? And then mm-hmm. people can share those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main thing is just lean into it. Realize
mm-hmm.
it's a normal part of life.
Right.
It doesn't feel good. It's counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Because you want to just put on your happy face and act like everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you need those periods to cry. I mean, you're losing, you've lost your mom. My
right,
gosh, that's
right.
somebody that's been there your whole life. That's
right.
somebody, you heard her heartbeat from the inside.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, I work with people who have lost children, and we started a group at Highland Park called Forever Moms because that's a forever
mm-hmm.
loss.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It doesn't mean it ruins your
right.
life or
no.
that you can't be
no.
happy again,
right.
but you'll always have a little hole in your heart. And I think that's what Revelation is talking about when it says God will dry every tear from their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about those reunions.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, I want to be a fly on the wall when this woman sees her
yes.
daughter again
yes.
or when
yes.
this man sees his dad again.
Yes.
Or because that is when our joy is going to become complete. And
yeah.
until that happens, we're going to be carrying around a little hole in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is, to go back to what you're saying, leaning into it, because there's someone that we know that maybe holds on to a loss of a parent all the time. And I think it's good to hold on to the person that you loved and miss, but and leaning into how that feels is where I think the stopgap is. And feelings are hard. And I'm wondering, as a friend, how can I be supportive? I can't make somebody feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, I can't control any of that. I understand that. But I'm wondering, as a friend, how we can be supportive to friends or family who can't seem to get past
mm-hmm.
the loss. Is there anything?
Well, I think it depends on time sometimes.
Okay.
Certain losses take longer. They've done surveys that said most people think your grief is over in 2 weeks. We know
oh,
that's
wow.
not true.
No.
You
no.
know, especially it's more like integrating the loss into your
oh,
life.
Okay.
It's
great.
Not so much letting
right.
go of it or getting over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in a philosophy called continuing bonds.
Okay.
And I think all Christians should believe in this. It's not like it's an illness we get over. It's something we learn to live with, but we also find those ways to keep the love alive, to keep the memory alive. Like we were talking about Christmas time, one of the things I do is I give my kids Christmas presents, like from their dad or from their
yeah.
grandpa.
Yeah.
I'll find things that I think maybe their dad would have liked for them to have,
mm-hmm.
and I'll put them under the tree, you know.
Aww.
And we've had some of our best family times with little gifts that grandpa would have given, like a
yes.
stuffed tiger that he used to have on his bed. I got Aww. Both my boys stuffed tigers 1 year and put from Grandpa.
Yeah.
And even though they're adults now, they love right. those stuffed tigers probably more than any gift
right.
I've ever given.
Well, it's the right. reminiscing of someone yeah. and mm-hmm. those fond memories, which I do think are important. I think sometimes people, at least from what I've observed and that I haven't experienced, want to forget those memories mm-hmm. because they think that's going to stop the pain.
No.
But to me, that's the opposite. Mm-hmm. You're going to want it, like you said earlier, you need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You need to, when you're ambushed at the grocery mm-hmm. store, which yes. I don't like to go grocery shopping. Maybe that's my excuse now. I'm going to mm-hmm. tell Tim, yeah. I just can't go. I might
right,
be ambushed. Not to make light of it, but mm-hmm. laughter helps me
yes.
too with
mm-hmm.
grief.
Oh,
and
yes.
I
yeah.
think things like that
oh,
are
Oh, we
important.
Laugh a lot in our grief groups. People have come by my suicide group and are out in the hall and they'll say, is that the suicide support group? Because there's something about laughing that, and I think telling funny stories of your loved mm-hmm. one, mm-hmm. you know, can, because they would want us to honor their lives
yes.
by remembering the
yes.
totality of them.
Yes. Right.
And it's such a relief, especially to suicide survivors, to know, hey, your person's life was not defined by the way it ended.
Right.
You know,
right.
They lived a full life.
Right.
And let's talk about some of the funny stuff that happened or some of your favorite memories. And I think that's when you really start healing. When you can stop focusing on the end and start looking at that whole life. And not ask the question, why did this person die? But this was a turning point for me in my own grief. But to ask the question, why did that person live? Mm. You know, I was thinking about
love
the
that.
Yes, I was thinking about the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you
yes.
know,
oh, one of my favorites.
Where the whole thing is, what if Jimmy Stewart had never lived
right.
or whatever
mm-hmm.
that character was he played?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what if my husband had never lived? You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have our son.
Right.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have learned all this stuff I learned. I wouldn't have had this whirlwind crazy mm-hmm. romance in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it changed who I am. It
yeah.
made me different. It affected me. And not just me, but lots of other people.
Absolutely.
You know, so every life has a purpose. And
yes.
if we can look beyond that sometimes unhappy ending and look at the totality of a person's life, then we
yeah.
can see
instead
purpose
instead of that
and
one
meaning.
Moment.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
Which,
wonderful.
Real quick, I do want to say, we were talking a second ago because I said committed suicide, and we were talking off the record, I guess you will, a second ago about there are there's an it's very negative connotation when you're saying committed suicide. So you had said died by suicide, mm-hmm. and why is that important? Maybe for us to change how we say something like that.
Yeah, when you've lost somebody you love, the word committed just you know you think about committed a robbery,
right.
committed
mm-hmm.
a murderer. It
mm-hmm.
just has a negative connotation. So that's one of my advice things to people listening. If you know somebody's lost somebody to suicide, think about trying to get that word committed out of your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it still pops up. We can't help it because it's kind of in the common vernacular, but.
Mm-hmm.
The more we can say took his own life or died by suicide, mm-hmm. it's just a little gentler way of talking about it, a little more compassionate way of talking mm. about it.
I yes. know. It's in my brain to say committed suicide.
And
I know. I still say it sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. But
I try to
change
suicide.
It as much as I can.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit more about the support groups, because I believe you had a story that you wanted to share.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, I always tell people that scripture about God grows close to the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time for really keeping your eye open for God signs, I call them.
Mm.
You know, some people would say you're crazy, that's just your imagination. But I'll tell you, after 18 years of doing this, I've heard some incredible stories. So I always tell people, be watching for those little signs that your loved one is communicating to you through God or however mm-hmm. you believe that happens. But I had a woman in my group that said, I hear y'all talking about all these God signs, and I've never had any. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more about your sister. She said, I'm just so afraid that she didn't go to heaven because I know she was so miserable at the end of her life. You know, she took her life. And but, you know, she had planned all this stuff. She had planned little gifts for all of us. And I said, well, tell me more about that. She started telling me the gift she left for me was a little nativity set.
Mm.
And I said, what do you think she was trying to tell you? And she said, I never thought about it. Do you think she was trying to tell me I believe, too?
No.
Do you think it was a message
wow.
that
yeah.
your Christian life is so
mm-hmm.
important to you, and
mm-hmm.
I recognize that, and I understand that, and I share it with you, even though we don't talk about it?
Hmm.
Wow.
I said, I think that might have been a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
yeah.
And she said, I never, ever thought that was a sign. I said, well, she obviously chose that gift very carefully mm-hmm. for
yes.
you for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it would be good to at least consider
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
that might have been a sign. And she left feeling so much better that day. I love when people come in crying and leave with a smile on
yes.
their face.
Absolutely.
Because
yes.
it occurred to her for the first time that her sister pastor had a very special message for her with that parting gift.
Right. Yeah. And so do you have support groups at Lover's Lane?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. We have a daytime grief share group. We have an evening grief share group. And we have what I call Christian survivors of suicide, because there's many wonderful support groups for suicide survivors in the DFW area. But my group is Christian oriented, which means we're going to talk about our faith. We're going to pray, because I couldn't imagine starting a support group where we couldn't talk about our faith, because that's what got me through. That is absolutely what got me through.
Amen.
And so that's why I started that group. And that's the most unique of my groups. You can get grief share anywhere, but only Christian survivors of suicide at Lover's Lane United Methodist.
Here's a question that someone asked me. Can you be happy again after the loss? Or how do you, you know, how long are you expecting before you should be happy again? Or are there any...
Is there a timeline?
Yeah.
Is there a fix to this?
Yeah.
Like, my mom passed away a week and a half ago. When am I going to feel better?
I had a guy actually come to my grief group and say, give me the checklist.
Wow.
And he said,
let me go through the checklist so I can be happy.
Yeah, exactly. He had lost his wife. And I said, there is no checklist.
No.
There is no time period. We used to talk in terms of stages, but now we talk about it being a tangled ball of emotions.
Yes.
We talk about roller coasters. At the one-year mark, you can have a little bit of a down dip. Mm-hmm. On birthdays, holidays, as we've talked, you can have a little bit of a down dip.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are true to your emotions, if you let yourself feel all your feelings, you let yourself cry, you let yourself miss your loved one, if you do all the healthy grieving that I promote in grief share groups and other people do, then not only can you be happy again, I would say you can even be a deeper person than you were before the loss.
And
Khalil Gibran has a beautiful quote that says, the deeper joy carves into your being, I'm sorry, the deeper sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain.
Wow.
And I think that is a beautiful quote. And that's kind of almost become like my mantra.
Yes.
That not only can you heal, you can be a better person. You can be a stronger Christian. You can be an authentic Christian. Because until you've taken the hits of life, you know, I think about people with very shallow faith that just think God's like Santa Claus and just answers all their prayers and everything's always perfect. That's a shallow faith. When you go through deep loss, that's when you can develop a really deep faith. So not only can it be, can you be happy again, you can be joyful and even better than before.
That man.
Wow.
Okay, great.
I don't like Dawn. She keeps looking at me while she's talking. It's just been, I mean, this is couldn't have been more timely for me. This has just been so beautiful. I feel like I'm doing it right, if you can grieve right. But I'm just allowing myself to be, and I am trying to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And I've done things that, you know, make me happy. And but it is hard. It's just really hard to walk through this.
Yeah. And we led worship together last night. And
that was amazing.
And Vicky shared a scripture, and even though she goes out, I felt a little self-conscious, but I mean, she shared a scripture and blessed us all.
Thank you.
And I think God has a special heart for those who are in grief but still worship.
Yes.
Sometimes
I have to. I love them. I love Jesus. It's not his fault my mom is gone. It's just we have a beginning and an end on this earth.
Right.
And she's in a much better place. And I know that sounds almost trite, but she's happy, peaceful, hanging out with her parents. And, you know, I can't wait to get there someday.
Yeah.
So
And that's how we should be as Christians.
Yeah. So, Dawn, you've written a book, right?
No, an article.
You've written an article. Okay, so tell us about your article.
Where can
we
find it?
Yeah, let us know where we can find it.
Oh, sure. The Christian Post asked me a few years ago to write an article about what not to say to suicide survivors.
Very good.
So I think you can just Google it, 10 things not to say to people who've lost a loved one to suicide or something like that. But it's under the Christian Post, and you can still pull it up.
Okay.
But it's just actually, I compiled it from people that were in my group, and it had people say some really horrible things.
And let me tell you, when I was going to go to lunch with my friend, I was probably going to do some of those things before you sent the information to me. But I'm so thankful for you in my life. I'm thankful for you in Vicky's life, and thankful for the work that you do. Lest you ever get up and think, what am I doing? Am I making a difference?
Yes.
I will tell you from the bottom of my heart that you exactly are. You are doing the work of the Lord, doing what God has called you to do. And we thank you so much for joining our conversation at Every Heart, Every Woman
Radio. Thank
you
both for what you're doing. This is wonderful. So
thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
So, Dawn, is there, if someone wants to get in touch with you, at Lover's Lane, if they're listening and they're thinking, okay, maybe I'm not grieving the right way, or maybe I want to join a small group, or I just need some help. You know, how can they get in contact with you?
Oh, sure. My email is danderson@llumc.org. So just email me, and I'd be happy to steer you in the right direction.
Perfect.
Yeah, and we can say from experience that Dawn will get back to you,
and she
will help you. So thank you so much for being here with us, Dawn. We truly, truly, truly appreciate your time. Everyone, you can stay in contact with us on our website, EHEWradio.com, or on our social media pages, @EHEWradio. We are on iTunes.
Woo-hoo!
Officially.
We are podcasters.
Anytime if you miss a show that is aired, you can go back to iTunes and you can catch up with us. So subscribe to us on iTunes. We are, help me out with.
We are Every Heart, Every Woman on iTunes.
Okay.
Every Heart, Every Woman Radio. And subscribe, because that way you know you won't miss a show.
Right.
And then also leave us a review, because now that I've been a listener of podcasts, I know how important it is as a podcaster. If you leave a review, the more reviews we have, the we become more available for people to scroll and find us on iTunes.
Excellent.
So Give us a shout out.
Yes. Yeah. So leave us a review. And our program is a program of Love Ministries. You can get more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. Well, everyone have a wonderful week.